Lady Gulf, written and presented by Avery Vermeulen for World War II Major Battles Project. The Battle of Lady Gulf was one of the world's largest naval battles. Beginning on October 23, 1944, and ending on October 26, 1944, this battle played a great part in World War II history. This battle was between the Japanese Axis forces and the Allied American and Australian forces. Two forces met in the Philippine Islands, specifically Leyte, Luzon, and Samar. The battles were fought in the Leyte Gulf, San Bernardino Strait, and Surigao Strait, with aid coming from the bases on the islands. The influence this battle had on the war was very important. The Battle of Leyte Gulf was so large that it was split into four smaller battles, one of the most influential being the Battle of Samar, our topic for this podcast. After the Japanese learned of indications of the American Allied forces landing in the Philippines, they launched Operation Sho. The operation released the remains of the Japanese Navy in a desperate attempt to keep the Allies out of the Philippines and stop them from blocking the Japanese supply route. American submarines and aircraft carriers attacked the Japanese in the Battle of the Subuwan Sea. Japanese forces were weakened, and they lost ships that were very powerful. Retreating back, the Japanese seemed to be heading westward. Unfortunately, the American forces suffered from miscommunication and lack of a single leader. They allowed their forces to be split apart as Admiral Halsey led the front of his fleet on a wild goose chase, while Task Unit 77-4-1 and 77-4-2, Taffy 1 and Taffy 2, went southward, leaving Rear Admiral Clifton Sprague and his Task Unit 77-4-3, Taffy 3, alone to act as a lookout. It was the morning after the Battle of the Subuwan Sea, October 25, 1944. Rear Admiral Clifton Sprague was aboard the Funchal Bay, an aircraft carrier. The Taffy 3 crews on their escort carriers, destroyers, and destroyer escorts were placed near the end of the San Bernardino Strait. These ships were lightly armored and carried around 30 planes each on the escort carriers. These ships were not up to date and could not withstand heavy battle. They were called tin cans and named CVE, which stood for Combustible, Vulnerable, Expendable. They were posted as a lookout while the rest of the Allied forces were otherwise occupied. Most of the crews were having breakfast in the galleys when the Funchal Bay intercepted a message from the Japanese forces, meaning they had to be close by. Bewildered and shocked, Sprague watched as Japanese forces came from the north of the San Bernardino Strait. Up against Taffy 3's six escort carriers, three destroyers, and four destroyer escorts were a large fleet of Japanese ships, built to withstand heavy attacks and battle. Knowing that they couldn't stand idly by, a destroyer named the Johnson took lead in the attack, and more ships followed behind to help out. Sprague ordered his ships to create a smoke screen and launch aircraft. Due to the fact the Japanese had poor visibility, he could only hope that the shots the Japanese fired would be off course. Shots were fired and the battle off Samar began. The Johnson plowed forward towards the enemy, weaving through the enemy fire before firing upon a heavy cruiser. Just like the rest of the Taffy 3 ships, the Johnson was unarmored and her ships could have inflict little to no damage to a heavy battleship. It was built to fight other destroyers and torpedo boats, not a battleship. This did not stop Commander Ernest Evans, though. He bravely went right up to the Japanese to attack and was wounded in the process. Fueled by Commander Evans' act of bravery, Sprague ordered his other ships forward to assist Evans in his attack and defended him in his retreat. The other two destroyers, the Heerman and Howell, surged forward to attack, and when the Johnson re-entered the fight, they all fought valiantly together. As the destroyers stood up to the enemy, Sprague sent out a call for backup to Taffy 1 and Taffy 2. He watched as the destroyer escort, Samuel B. Roberts, entered the fight in the wake of the destroyers. It was said, as the Roberts passed by the damaged and mangled Johnston, that Commander Evans stood at the stern of his ship to salute the captain of the Roberts. Sprague watched as the rest of the destroyer escorts entered the battle with his remaining ships. He ordered aircraft to be launched and his smokescreen to fire torpedoes as they could throughout the battle. Aerial backup launched from Taffy 1 and Taffy 2 came to support Taffy 3 in its battle against the Japanese. The Funchal Bay and other aircraft carriers were under fire, and Sprague ordered his ships to start moving south. Sprague and his escort carriers moved south and tried to avoid the Japanese. Unfortunately, the smoke did not give them the cover they needed, and they faced attacks from the north and east, forcing them to move southwest. The Gambier Bay's port flank was exposed and took damage, causing fires to start. With another hit, water began to flood the ship. The Johnson tried to draw fire away, but by then it was too late, and the Gambier Bay was abandoned as she began to sink. The damaged destroyer Howell, along with the destroyer escorts Dennis, John C. Butler, and Raymond, were fighting individually, backing up the Roberts in its fight. Even the badly damaged Johnson was not backing down in the fight. With Sprague orders to head south, the destroyer escorts drew back as the Howell suffered heavy damage. It was abandoned soon after it flooded and a fire started. The destroyer escorts stood in between the Japanese and the escort carriers. Most of the destroyer escorts had used up their torpedoes and weren't in a good firing position. The still-working destroyer and destroyer escorts weaved through the enemy, firing their guns in the process. The escort carriers only had smoke screens for some protection, and they were hit hard and unable to fight. The Roberts fought just as bravely as the destroyers it escorted, undertaking heavy fire to return torpedoes upon its attackers. Its crew lacked training and the weapons needed to inflict heavy damage. The ship was sneaky, using smoke as cover, and managed to pass right under enemy fire and deliver torpedo attacks while it could. While protecting escort carriers, it took a heavy hit. Fires and explosions erupted, and communications were lost. Soon after, it was abandoned and sunk with 89 crew members, sinking to the depths of the Gulf. The Johnson, which was running on just one engine, defended the escort carriers. Limping along, it was hit several times as the Japanese focused firing on her. When its last engine went out, all communications were lost, along with the power. Soon, it was abandoned and it sunk, taking the brave Commander Evans with her. Sprague had now lost the Gambier Bay, Howell, Roberts, and the ever-brave Johnson. He kept the order for aerial attacks, which played a huge role in the continuation of the battle. If not for the aerial force, they likely wouldn't have held out for so long. Rear Admiral Stump of Taffy 2 had previously told his planes to continue to cripple as many Japanese ships as possible. Combined with Sprague's forces and very little Japanese counter-aerial attacks, they are a force to be reckoned with, inflicting damage on the Japanese. Then, out of pure luck, Sprague watched as Japanese retreated. The Japanese couldn't withstand any more aerial attacks, so they left behind damaged ships and didn't even stop to rescue their crews that floated in the water. Japanese aircraft forces did attack in the morning after the worst of the battle. They targeted the escort carriers, but the damage they caused was dealt with, the fires put out. In the last attempt to attack the Allied forces, a Japanese plane dove into the deck of a destroyer escort, St. Lo. St. Lo sank quickly, but the rest of Taffy 3 kept off the Japanese aerial forces. In the days and hours after the battle, Sprague had his ships look for survivors from the wreckage of the Gambier Bay, Howell, Roberts, Johnson, and St. Lo. Because of the poor communications, many of the survivors floated in the ocean for days. trying to escape sharks and stay alive. The Japanese ships that had retreated from the battle off Samar were later picked off by Allied forces that waited for them in the north. The Japanese ships that managed to escape went back to Japan and were never seen again during the war. All of Taffy 3 was damaged. No ship evaded the Japanese attacks. Many of the survivors suffered from burns and other wounds. Others suffered in the water as they floated while waiting for rescue. In all, 1,130 people were dead, with another 913 wounded. For Taffy 3's bravery, they were rewarded. Heroes both dead and alive receiving praise and achievements for their bravery. Without Taffy 3, the Battle of Leyte Gulf could have been lost. That could have easily changed history and the outcome of future battles from during the rest of World War II. If the Japanese realized they weren't facing the main fleet, they surely would have blown Taffy 3 out of the water. It was pure luck that the Japanese admiral never noticed that he wasn't facing the front of Allies' forces. Though, there were still plenty of mistakes made on the Allies' side. If they elected one leader to control the operation, they could have seen more success and suffered less. If the Allied forces didn't allow themselves to be drawn away by Japanese decoys, Taffy 3 wouldn't have been left to fend for itself. The Allies suffered from miscommunication during this battle, and that was almost their downfall. Still, the Battle of Leyte Gulf was a huge win for the Allies. They successfully cut off the Japanese supply route. The Japanese had also lost a lot of their fleet and resources, while the losses on the Allies' side could be replenished. The Battle of Leyte Gulf was a huge battle in World War II history. It was a big win for the Allies and helped history play out the way it did. Historians also believe the Battle of Leyte Gulf to be the largest naval battle in history. This concludes my podcast for the Major World War II Battles Assignment. Thank you for listening in. I hope you learned something noteworthy and useful.